my friends, this is a sound that will pick you up and land you in a place of euphoria.
Across Australia,
I give to you
Weekend Breakfast with Dylan Alcott, Tanya Hennessy, and Angus O'Loughlin.
Wouldn't want to be anywhere else in the world. I mean, seeing photos from people in like Eos, Greece, and like
Fuerns.
No thanks. Ooh. Florence, Italy. I'll be here in the studio with you mates. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, Tanya Hennessy.
Good morning.
Hello, Dylan Alcott.
G'day, Angus. G'day, Tanya. How are we both?
I love that you guys. Oh, I was at Dylan saying Fuerns. That's one of the greatest statements. Were you saying boo?
I was saying Fuerns.
I miss The Simpsons, but like good Simpsons, not new Simpsons.
Oh, you've got a discrepancy between the
two. No, the new Simpsons.
Matt Groening dropped the ball.
He did.
He really did, but so did Family Guy. Family Guy used to be awesome, and now it's like, bum, bum.
Matt and Seth, big fans of the show.
But you
so
know what?
Listening, we love
South
you.
Park, consistent.
Yeah, true.
That, God, how long is that going
for? Still going.
When will
and
it
on
end?
Netflix now. Anyway, we've already gone on tangents. Welcome
Sorry.
To the show. We have a big one for you. On the way, T-Bird, we're talking about relationships.
Yes, you might have seen The Big Bang Theory. Sorry about that. That's one of the worst.
Get some better tasting comedy.
How many shows are all on?
Oh, when I'm not watching that, do you know what else I like to watch?
Are we gonna trash?
Ashton Kutcher's Two and a Half Men. It was better than Charlie.
So Kayla Cacao or Kakay, I don't know her last name.
Oh, I like that.
Anyway, she has the most bizarre relationship set up. She's married, but what they do as a married couple is sort of like, why are you guys married? Tell you what it is, Sim.
Up next, I was on the front page of one of the world's best publications.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what it was.
This is Weekend Breakfast.
I'm pretty happy. I'm really enjoying my year so far. I was lucky enough to obviously start working with you guys on this radio show. Great. Obviously the highlight.
Uh-huh.
Had some luck on the tennis court, Wimbledon and such.
US Open.
Yeah, didn't win that.
Oh.
Logie, which was awesome.
Yeah, where is the Logie?
It's actually at my friend's house. She won't give it back at the moment.
Oh,
my friend Georgie,
what?
Who looks after the foundation.
We should also mention next week, Dylan is nominated for the Radio's Night of Nights. Radio's Logie's the ACRA's best newcomer on air.
That's great.
I have Chantel's brother's wedding, so Angus, if I'm lucky enough to win, Angus is going to collect the
award. Stumble up the stairs.
And said he might do it in a wheelchair.
Don't do that, Angus.
Oh, props always good.
Yeah. However, guys, boom. Highlight of the year.
This is big.
Happened this week. I don't know, Tanya, if you saw, I was on the front cover, the front page of the Warrnambool Standard.
Which is up there with, you know, as a musician, Rolling Stone, as a rich person, Forbes.
Forbes, Elle Magazine. It's big deal.
Where's Warrnambool?
It is in country Victoria. Yeah. It's 3 hours out of Victoria along the water, down near Port Ferry, so like past.
You might know Warrnambool as that viral video of the wombat that got painted in chalk on the side of the bridge.
That did happen also in Warrnambool. Yeah. However, Tanya, you haven't seen this photo. I want you to go right now onto my Instagram, or I think you have a printout right there.
Oh.
I need you to look at the photo that they've put up.
Just been handed to Tanya.
All right, so what I was doing in Warrnambool was I was doing a keynote, right, a motivational talk to the town.
Do you use this photo?
To the whole town? What do you mean?
The whole town came, like 600-700 people there. Like, it was a big turnout. And the first slide of my keynote is of my school photo when I was 13 years old.
Yeah, now, Angus, an unusual looking kid.
I want you to describe the photo for everyone.
It is Dylan Alcott. If Dylan Alcott was eaten by Dylan Alcott.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so I'm all...
Dylan ate all the pies at the canteen.
Yeah, but you're so cute.
I was sponsored by Red Rooster. I love
Dylan went to the canteen with his brown paper bag where he used to write your order on it, and it was more pen than paper.
So I am morbidly obese. I've got no...
That. Now I sound real...
Wait, listen.
You're not morbidly
obese. I've got no eyebrows. Look. I didn't grow eyebrows until I was 18 years old.
Yeah.
I've got braces. It's on my Instagram, at Dylan Alcott, or it's going to be on ours at Hit Weekend Breakfast. You can check it out. However, I was reading, because I was in the local paper, I'm like, I might have a flick through the local paper. And I want to know on 131060, why were you in the local paper? What did you do to get yourself in? You ever been in, Angus?
Yes. The Torquay Times, which is the local paper from where I grew up in Victoria. I won the Babe Pig in the City competition, I won a ticket to Surf World, which was screening the movie, and I won myself a piggy bank, and they took a photo of me with my prize.
Oh, that's sick.
There you go.
Magda
Sabansky ruined that franchise.
You've been in the local paper
too? No, I love it. Yeah, but I was doing like a theatre masterclass, like, you know, teaching kids.
That's legit.
In Maitland, so I was in the Maitland Mercury.
Oh, it's near Newcastle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the article they ran underneath said sex charges, and it's just a picture of me looking really smug, and in the left-hand side it says learn from the masters.
So it was relevant then? So it was all on point.
Oh, we actually lost people. People called up and were like, we don't want to be a part of this. And I was like, no, the editor, like, you know, sub-edited and put that headline like, oh, God. Yeah.
131060. Why were you in the local newspaper?
Even the worst ideas.
We'll get your calls next.
This is Weekend Breakfast.
Give us a call if you've been in the local newspaper and tell us why.
Yeah, because I was in the Warrnambool Standard this week. Big publication, T. Huge. Made the front cover, and it was a photo of me as an obese 13-year-old child.
You weren't obese. Every 13-year-old looks like that.
Not now. You're allowed to say it. My wheelchair now, currently, is...
Are you adding wheelchair to the weight?
It's 13 and a half inches wide. It used to be 17 inches.
So you had a bigger, fat, large...
in my wheelchair.
I've never thought about a size of a wheelchair.
Neither am I. They're not one size fit all.
No, they're big fat boy wheelchair boy. That was me.
Yeah, you definitely had a glow up.
Yeah, glow up. And tougher
for your parents as well at that point because you have to, it's like 10 grand for a wheelchair, and if you're just fluctuating your weight between party pies.
Oh, I wasn't fluctuating. I was just fat. And then I lost weight once and then tried to keep it off.
Oh, God, party pies are so good.
I was in the Torquay Times, my local newspaper, growing up because I won a Babe Pig in the City competition. Tanya?
Yeah, and I was the paper doing a masterclass in drama, but they wrote sex charges underneath and then learn from the masters up the top. So I came off as a real sex pest.
Casey, our producer, you've been in your local newspaper. Why and what was it?
Yeah, I was in the Advocate guys, the Bernie newspaper.
Yeah, Tassie.
Tassie.
Yeah. Basically, they were trying to compare how much ice cream was to now back in the day. So I was the representative of the younger generation.
Oh, so it's you standing there with like a Calippo and $1.60 underneath it?
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Let's go to Margaret in Newcastle first. Morning, Margaret. Why were you in your local newspaper?
Well, my sister talked me into becoming a bikini model, draped over a Mercedes to advertise a hairdresser in Harmony.
What?
She wanted a job.
Nice.
To advertise a hairdresser? It doesn't make sense.
He was a great guy. He was a hairdresser and he had the Mercedes.
Of course.
And he had, yeah, my sister and I draped over. I'm not saying her name because too many people. Newcastle are very small.
Yeah, Newcastle is small. Did you get paid?
No.
I wouldn't have thought so.
Nah, freebies.
Callum, in New South Wales, why were you in your local newspaper?
Back in 91, I almost drowned up in one of the theme parks in Queensland.
Oh, no.
My mum was feeding my younger brother in the cafe and I fell into the the rapids of the ride.
Oh.
And, yeah, I almost went into the turbine.
Were you on a four-pass super bus?
Jeez, that's so full
that
on.
That made me so nervous.
Oh. Oh, Callum, I'm glad you're right, bro. That was.
If you want to see a funny photo, Dylan in the front page of the Warrnambool newspaper is on our Instagram. Hit Weekend Breakfast. Check it out now.
This is Weekend Breakfast.
I have found the most bizarre news story this week, and when I saw it, I was like, how is this a thing in 2019? And maybe I'm like, I don't know, weirdly conservative or really old school, and I'd love to know your opinions on this.
All right, let's get into Donald Trump's impeachment, everybody.
No. God, well, that was like the weirdest laugh from me and like real off-brand. Yeah, it's like, what am I from, Scary Movie? Great reference, Tanya. Bring back 2002. So Kaylee Kuokau, whatever Kuokau. A bloody, whatever her name is.
Kuko.
Yes, she's from the, what's the movie, what's the film? TV show?
Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory. She's a chick in that. She's gorgeous. She's just celebrated her one-year anniversary.
Congratulations, Kaylee.
Her second husband, and she's living her best life, and she says the reason that their marriage is so successful and so wonderful is because they live in two separate houses and... And maybe they'll never live together. And I was like, that's so weird. Like, am I really backwards or am I... I just think it's strange.
Wait, are they next door to each other? Do they live in other suburbs, different states?
Different suburbs. They both live in LA, but they're not in the same suburb. They have to drive to each other when they want to see each other.
So does that mean like they watch a Netflix? They're going to sit down to watch El Camino, the Breaking Bad movie tonight, which comes out, and then they're going to go, all right, babe.
Bye.
All right, I'm off to Santa Barbara.
I'm off to my place.
Yeah. Right. I think that's what happens. And they said, like, it's working so much
that
they don't
that's
see it
horrible.
Changing anytime soon. I don't know. Like, do you think that's weird or is it progressive? Or I think it's strange. And maybe it's just because how I grew up. You know, my parents live together. I live with my boyfriend. So I kind of think it's strange.
Well, it's really weird, actually, because my parents did the same thing.
Really?
My mum lived in Victoria and my dad lived in Queensland.
Right.
Oh, that was divorce.
Divorce.
Ah.
Sorry.
Different. That's a different one?
They're still together, aren't they? Okay. Sorry, yeah. My bad.
Yeah, and they're saying they're like they're loving it. It actually really works for them and this is
I'm off it. I love living with my partner every night. I couldn't imagine not.
Same. I really like it too because Tom really loves to vacuum. It's actually super convenient. But I'd love to know.
Does he like it or is he forced to do it?
Well, I'm a real mess. So if he doesn't do it, no one's doing it.
Okay.
What's your unusual relationship agreement? I know a lot of people sleep in separate beds in the same house.
Oh, snoring's a big factor for that.
Yeah, but I also think some people do like, you know.
Like their own space?
Shift work. So they wake up. You know, at 2 a.m. or whatever, so that it's just more convenient for them. I know Edwina Bartholomew has spoken about it from Channel 7. She sleeps in a different room to her husband, same house. Yeah.
Mm.
But I would love to know, there's probably so many different ways of putting this together and so many relationships. I mean, they work. If they work, they work. But I just really would be interested in knowing what works for you, 13, 10, 60.
We've got unusual relationship arrangements written in our little form guide. But, I mean, to you, that's your norm.
Yeah, I want to know. What are people doing out there?
This is Weekend Breakfast.
We're asking on 13 10 60, give us a call if you've got an unusual relationship agreement, arrangement.
Yeah, well, off the back of the fact that Kaylee, whatever her bloody last name is, she's just been married or celebrating.
Big Bang's Penny.
Big Bang. But yes, they've been married for a year. They've just celebrated their year anniversary and she was talking to E and said, oh, you know, we've never lived together. We've been dating and now we're married for a year and we live in two separate suburbs in LA and we don't see it changing anytime soon. And I was like, maybe I'm old school, but I reckon it's kind of weird.
Nah, I can't get around that either, Tanya. That's weird.
I don't know. I worry that I'm not progressive enough because I like, because if it works, it works.
Yeah.
But is that marriage? I don't know.
Well, I mean, most marriages end in divorce, so if these people can figure out a way to stay together, then good on them.
That's what I think as well. So, yeah, we're talking about your unusual relationship arrangement. What works for you guys?
Kathy in Albury, you're up first. What is your weird arrangement?
Well, I've been with my partner for 11 years and we've never lived together.
Okay, so you hate each other. That's interesting.
No, great.
Separate towns.
You live in separate towns?
Yeah, we're 3 hours apart.
How often do you see each other?
If it's not every weekend, it's every second weekend.
Wow, and you find that it, like after 11 years, it's still strong, you guys are absolutely together?
Yep.
You don't worry about him at night time heading down to the local pub and, oh, my God, Cherie's across the bar.
Oh, no, he knows his boundaries.
Boundaries. So why did you guys decide to do that, just out of work or just he just really smells or?
It's work and it's just because we've got kids to different partners.
Right.
Oh.
And it just works out.
But still.
Do you plan to live together one day?
Yeah, one day, if we don't get too old.
Oh, never too old for a good time.
Thanks, Dylan.
Let's take a photo of Dylan right now, make it black and white and put that quote above him and put it on our Instagram. Hit Weekend Breakfast. I'm doing that right now.
You're never too old for a good time.
This is Weekend Breakfast.
Should we do an intro for this? Dylan, do you want to do it live?
Yeah, ready? One, two, three. It's time for
Batchy Chat.
So glad I wasn't a part of that.
Dylan, that was some of our worst work, but good
on us. Casey, our producer, saying, awesome, get coming back next week.
She's actually shaking her head. So I want to talk about The Bachelor. Bachelorette, I should say. I'm so stoked because I think as a woman watching TV growing up, the women that were presented were perfect and didn't look like me and didn't represent me. And I felt for a really long time as a human being that I didn't sort of, I wasn't correct in the way that I was. And that is a little bit rough around the edges. And that is a little bit bizarre. And I'm a funny, weird unit. And to see someone like Angie Kent represent a real woman on television unashamedly, unapologetically and fearlessly is one of the most exciting things I have ever seen in a really long time. And I am so here for it. This is her on The Bachelorette this week.
I'm Angie and I'm your next bachelorette. It's something that I would never have thought that me, a little gal from the Sunshine Coast, would be doing. People used to watch me watching Bachelorette. I'm going to have to pinch myself because I'm going to feel like, is this real life?
No,
haven't seen an episode of The Bachelorette yet, but hearing a lot about it. She's from Gogglebox, though, so that's the reference to watching The Bachelorette and people watching her. Yep. But she, I didn't know that she was from the Sunshine Coast, which is also where the guy we're talking about, Jess, is from, Noosa. So they actually live in the same area. I didn't know
that. So, I mean, look, the representation of seeing a normal human being on television is fabulous. But the way she is portraying herself and holding herself is exceptional.
And just ripping down the dudes that are just dickheads, to be honest.
She just knows what she wants and she's going for it. Yep. And so if you missed it during the week, they had this guy, his name was Jess. They did a photo shoot where he was dressed as a horse and she was like a barnyard lady, I guess. And he just made a really, really rough comment about touching her. And, you know, he was a horse and he was like, oh, I'm going to get the first to ride. And you just think to yourself, mate, no, never. And she just didn't have a bar of it. So much so that she went up to him at the cocktail party and was like, get out.
The guys, you don't say very nice things about me. And you've actually made a lot of the makeup artist and crew not feel very comfortable. And if there's anything in my entire life that I've been super sure of, is that I will never allow a man to come in and with my sisterhood. Yes. If a man can't accept and respect what I am putting down, I'd rather be single for the rest of my life.
Yes, cool. And it was the International Day of the Girl yesterday, and having someone like Angie Kent represent women in the Australian media in the way she is makes me so excited for the future, because when you see women who look so perfect and so polished, you know, on your TV screens, you really start to go, is that what I should look like? And it gives you a lot of issues. So to see someone being a human being, it makes you feel seen and it makes you feel validated. And so Angie Kent, thank God you exist, and thank you for being such an incredible bachelorette. I mean, into it, boys.
Well said.
I'm going to go back on 10 Play and watch a couple episodes now.
Yeah, good.
What am I missing out on?
Hey, are you on the take at Channel 10, Money Chance, over there?
Yeah, you are employed by Channel 10. It did seem a little bit sponsored post.
It's not sponsored!
This is Weekend Breakfast.
That's the sound of the police.
Thug life, everybody.
That's the sound of the beast.
I ain't scared of no po-po. Five-o.
Yeah. Gussie.
Gangster.
Prison.
Got a call off a private number this week, and you know how gangster I am. Bang, I answered it.
Oh! Oh,
I ain't scared of no private number.
Whoa!
I would never answer that.
Don't bother me. I ain't scared. Then guess what?
That's the sound of the police.
G'day, Angus. It's Senior Constable, whatever.
Oh, you're done, bro. They found you.
Police station gives me a call up. We need you to come in for questioning. I was like, whatever.
Oh!
Whatever.
Yeah, you're a criminal.
So stop doing my lappies in my Hyundai XL with a spoiler and spinners.
Stop graffing. No way, stop
you would have been so scared.
I was petrified.
Stop graffing the train stations, bro.
I was so scared. So this is an ongoing thing. Over a year this has been going on in my life, but I had my wallet stolen in Adelaide in September last year. In October last year, I got notified by Vodafone that I'd taken out a phone plan, and I was like, what? No, I'm in Bali. Well, I'm on holiday. No.
Tell me you didn't do that.
No, I didn't do that. Definitely didn't. And so anyway, I was like, no. And then I had a letter come to my house saying your application for a NAB loan has been declined. And so anyway, I'm like, oh, my God, someone's trying to use my cards from my stolen wallet to get stuff. And obviously was successful in some instances.
Oh, I hate that.
You have to go through the process. I mean, I've killed 100 trees with the amount of pages I've had to print off. It's ridiculous, the stuff you have to sign. Statdex, JPs,
right.
Police stations, police reports, witness statements. You have to do it just to get the credits.
How annoying.
Because my credit score is now, I've got 3 bad scores on my, so I can't get any loans. I've had to try to you know, the interest rates have been cut. I've gone to go remortgage my house. I can't because my credit loan is so bad.
That is so... That's so awful.
So, yes, I got a new letter this week from a different bank, and it's like your loan is being declined. But this person keeps going. So what you have to do when your ID, your identity, your life has been stolen, you have to go through this process of like blocking out your credit score for a period of 3 months to 6 months. You have to go and change your Medicare card. I've had to change my states for my license. I've had to. You have to go. The process is incredible. Just by somebody taking your wallet, looking somewhat like you, and going into a store and obtaining an iPhone 10 back in October.
And it's not just you, Angus. The Australian Bureau of Statistics released some stats that 8.5% of the population aged over 15 has experienced personal fraud in the past 12 months. 10% of people.
That's
quite a bit. It's quite a bit.
A lot of it happens over the phone with kind of that, you know, international call, calling someone and saying,
you get it from like Bolivia and they ask you questions. And what they do, they record your voice. What's your name? Dylan Alcott. And then they say, if they try and get you to say yes, and then they hang up. And then they can use that because they just do that,
That's scary. And the other one is, you know, you get, who doesn't get emails from Apple saying, you know, there's been a problem with your account, press this button. It's a fake email.
I've been getting them this week at FedEx. FedEx have been going, your parcel's ready. I don't got no FedEx.
So it's an ongoing thing for me at the moment. I can't do anything with my actual banks being actually Angus O'Loughlin until I figure out this credit score thing, which is going to take a period of about 2 months.
Maybe change your name to like Sergeant Boy or like.
You really should have thought
what
that.
About, what about, what about, Schmangus O'Schmocklin?
Oh, that's much better.
What about
better.
Like Petey? You look like a Petey?
No, Schmangus.
That's a bit close to.
Peeny.
Sure. 131060, identity theft. Have you had your identity stolen? Because there's some real shockers out there. I'm talking like you go to the police station and they can't believe you are you because someone's stolen your identity so much. Like you have to convince someone that you are who you are.
This is Weekend Breakfast.
Talking about identity theft, have you ever had your identity stolen? I'm currently going through this at the moment. It's been a year of it where I've had to like lock off my credit cards. I've had to change my whole life identity. I've actually had to really genuinely change my password on everything that I do.
Oh, nah.
Because someone has got a phone plan out. They've tried to get two different loans. And I forgot to tell you this bit. They actually were successful in embezzling someone out of $10,000 cash using my identity. And apparently the police officer told me, this is like June this year, was using my actual identity. So they Googled who I was and was like, here's proof of who I am, and had sent my Instagram and stuff to get $10,000 of advertising money out of someone.
What?
So someone actually could be listening this morning. The person who has done this to you.
Could be listening.
Bro, like chill.
Please, stop.
Stop.
I am listening.
But we are talking about identity theft. We've got Brittany in Geelong.
Dylan, you're not listening. You are on your phone.
Brittany, tell us about your identity theft case.
So when I first turned 18, the night of my 18th, I was actually too drunk to go out anywhere, so I didn't go.
Legend.
And then about 2 months later, I went to go out for the first time and I got in. And then about 15 minutes later, the security come and got me and they said, you need to come back down. And I was really scared. It was like the first time I'd been out. And they go, we need your ID. So I gave them my ID and then they took it and they said, you're not getting this back. Like the police have been called. And I was like, wait, like what have I done? And then they said, do you know this girl? And they showed me a photo. I've got blonde hair. I'm tall. This chick's like dark hair. She's short, looks nothing like me. And I'm like, okay, you for real right now? Are you serious?
Yeah.
And then so... yeah, and then they wouldn't give me my ID back and I was barred for 12 months and I had to follow it up with the police.
Oh, because someone had stolen your identity.
Because the other girl was in there with my...
Oh.
I lost my learners like a few months.
Oh, they were in the party.
There you go.
Before I got my P's and I didn't stress about it because I got my P's.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so she had a form of ID. It can happen to you. Thanks, Brittany.
It's so weird, isn't it? Because don't you reckon... Have you ever found a wallet? I have. I would never... Do you know what I mean? It's like, hand it in, give it to the police. You'd never go, oh, you know what I'm going to do? Steal someone's identity. Not too much work. No way.
Ashley in Sydney, tell us about your story.
Well, I started getting calls from debt collectors for a $4,000 Vodafone bill.
Hey, welcome to my life. You and me both. I owe $3,600 apparently.
Yeah, I think it's just really easy to get an account with Vodafone.
No, I'm sure.
We love Vodafone. We do love Vodafone. Can't get enough of them.
Good people. And actually, you know what? They were the first people to swipe it from my credit score once all the process went through. It took them 4 days. So shout outs to them, but unfortunately, yes. I was a bit surprised that a guy, because I do know what the person who stole my wallet looks like, he has black hair and ethnic features, and I am definitely neither of those.
No, you're so, I was like, so Aryan.
You get it. Sam in Vic, what's your story about identity theft?
Yeah, so basically someone stole my license renewal out of the mail.
What?
And,
well, the police reckon it's actually a racket that happens with a postal service unnamed. But, so basically 9 months later, I still haven't got a new license. Vic Roads, because they can't identify me, can't actually issue me a new license.
Wow, yeah.
So, yeah, there's two banking agencies that have paid out 10 grand each.
What?
Two iPhone 10s that are paying really that I have that I don't have.
Yeah.
This is awful.
And,
crazy.
If I can tell you anything,
make sure you go to the three credit companies. And
Equifax, that's one of them.
Equifax, Elyon, and Experian.
Yeah, you.
What does that mean? Sorry, like, can you explain that? What that is?
So basically, when like a phone company or a bank or someone goes to see your credit score before going for a loan, by contacting those three companies, you block them anybody from seeing it. And so when, let's say, a bank goes, "Okay, you want $10,000? Okay, that's Angus looking in front of me, even if it's not." They go in to see your credit score and they can't access it, which means they can't give you a loan. So it's kind of like blocking any chance of a credit company giving money.
Also, you have to clear it with Equifax. So
You just block that company, blocks it out.
Anybody can't go in.
No one can access your account.
Unless you prove it with a password.
Yeah.
Don't steal people's identities.
Password is sexy boy Angus.
Still the same since high school, baby.
This is Weekend Breakfast.
Tell me what we're all about at this show: public service announcements and looking after our people. Angus, what you just did then, you looked after our people, telling people the set times are out. Mm-hmm. I just want to let everyone know about something to make sure that they do not get in trouble. I was reading an article this week. It was actually over in Canada. However, it is relevant in Australia as well. About a lady, she was upstairs getting changed. She'd had successfully completed the bottom half of the change, but not the top half.
Okay.
Right.
And then her little toddler ran down the stairs. So she had to run after the toddler so the toddler didn't hurt himself.
Gotcha.
She went downstairs, grabbed the toddler. The window was open, so you could see in. And she got fined $400 for lewdness.
That's insane.
Because she didn't close the window because she was naked in her own home.
She had her norks out.
Oh, don't say that word. Can I tell you, if that was a thing in Australia, I would be fined time after time.
That's what I mean. I mean, my partner shouldn't go to jail for life.
Mate, absolutely. You know, being a hotel nude is one of my favourite things. And I sometimes really quite enjoy...
But that's the law. That's the law. I know. It's so stupid.
Is it here in Australia?
No, I'm not sure. But I was like, that's disgusting, first and foremost. But however, the guy's like, I'm sorry, but I have to do it. And it's kind of
You didn't mention that she does live across from a primary school.
Does she?
I just made that up. You guys are nude. You guys are like, I'm a nude
around the home all the time.
All the time nude.
I have a lot of mirrors in my house.
Yeah, even better.
I look better nude.
We look great.
You look better nude?
Mate, sometimes I see myself in the mirror. I look like a Botticelli model. You know what I mean? Like, I've got a big hip on me. I've got an all right boob for the size of boob I have. And I think, good on me.
What's a Botticelli?
I don't know. That was very...
Botticelli. You know, they're like those models who are really big.
It's cheese. I thought it was a cheese.
Maybe it is cheese.
It's a cheese.
I thought it was like an artist.
What's a cheese?
You know those artists and they used to do the big, big hip, big boob models? Anyway, whatever. There's a law.
Oh, Ann Geddes.
Not Ann Geddes, you can't swear on this show. But there was that, didn't that guy get fined for having a sip of water during the week? Like, that's a stupid
I read that as well. $175 in Queensland for drinking. Oh, his thing, I was having
a
sip
of water.
But apparently he was driving with due care or something.
Yeah, because he had a sip of water. Did you know that was a law?
No.
I didn't know that.
I think you can drink water. I think it was the...
Not paying due care and attention. It's for drinking the water.
Okay.
Straight drinking water.
And he lost a demerit point as well.
Other real weird reasons, this kind of got on a tangent, but like, I wonder what other some weird reasons you can get in trouble. A mum took away her daughter's phone because she was being naughty in the house, got arrested for stealing.
What?
Yep. Man wearing I'm with stupid t-shirt was arrested for public nuisance.
With the arrow pointing to the person next to him. That's a
Anyone in an Ed Hardy shirt? They should get arrested for that too.
Man's arrested for reading cheating wife's emails on shared computer for privacy. I don't know if you're allowed to do that. I know she was being naughty, but...
Can I ask a question to you both? Do you have you ever snooped your partner's phone while they didn't know?
No. Definitely not.
Okay.
Have you?
No.
And it would be a deal breaker if, like, I'm like, you can go through my phone, but, like, don't be creeping around there.
Okay. There you go. There are some weird phones out there.
I'd like to get back to the fact that I look really good nude, though.
Okay.
This is Weekend Breakfast.
Hey, so it's World Mental Health Week this week, coming to the end of the week, of course. And I don't know if you guys saw, did you see the Prince Harry and Ed Sheeran video? They did this video.
I loved that.
Yeah, me too. I love Prince Harry. I've never been a royal fan.
My mate Harry.
He is your mate.
We're pen pals.
I know. But he's just so endearing, and just the fact that he's using, I don't know, his profile to talk about mental health is really, really important. I saw Harry Styles talk about it as well.
And quickly.
Oh, new song.
New Harry Styles dropped yesterday called Lights Up.
It's good.
If you want to see a sexual music video clip, woo, baby. But yes, he got around it.
You have a good fair man crush on Harry.
I would 100%. Emily, I love you, but I would suck face with Harry Styles for the
would
story.
Would you?
100%.
He's a bit of a babytron.
Yeah, anyway,
he is.
But he did tweet about it during the week as well.
About sucking
and
face with
tweets.
You?
No,
about the song. Yeah. Oh, mental health. Okay.
About mental health. Sorry. Yeah. And I guess like the reason that it's really important to talk about it is to break the stigma around mental health. And I guess to make people aware that they're not alone, because we are in the middle of an epidemic at the moment. We have 8 Australians a day take their life, and it's really harrowing. Like, those statistics are scary. And I guess, you know, I have a really annoying anxiety. I call it annoying because I would love to not have it, but mental health doesn't discriminate, and it doesn't matter who you are or where you are. Like, Prince Harry experiences it, you know, and I think a lot of people go, but he's rich. It's like, rich doesn't mean you are prone to not having depression or anxiety.
Justin Bieber has depression. Right. He's got it. You think he has everything.
Everyone goes, because you're famous, you couldn't have it because you must live the best life. You know what I mean?
It doesn't work that way. Yeah. Like, I've been on antidepressants for years, and you know, having anxiety is a really tough thing, particularly in the media, because, you know, you do things like national radio, or I've been on a comedy tour and getting up in front of, you know, 1,200 people at a time, and I've actually not wanted to talk about it, to be honest, because I didn't want anyone to know, but I'm going to, because it's this week, it's World Mental Health Awareness Week, and getting up on stage has been one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. Like, I have been vomiting and shaking. It's almost a bit irrational, Gus. Okay. Like, that's the anxiety sort of side of it, and you overthink
and
it, and you intellectualize
it. You've been killing it.
But you don't see yourself
that's
that
what
way.
I mean.
No, so, I don't see it that way. And I have just, I've just been like not being able to sleep, and it's been so scary. But I do want to share this, and this is why it's really important to sort of, there is a good side to the end of the rainbow. Last night we did a show in Canberra, and I came off the stage and I thought, I'd never, when I finish this tour, I'm never going to get up in front of people again. I cannot put myself through this. This has been like terrifying. And I finished and I came off the stage and went, I want to do this for the rest of my life.
Awesome. Mm.
And I know it sounds weird, but it's like resilience is everything. And you know, when you have a mental health issue, you are resilient. And I guess for me, like, the message was so resoundingly strong. It's like, you just have to stay at it and stay there. And sometimes exposure therapy is a really great way to overcome your greatest fear, because stand up is my greatest fear. And now all of a sudden it's my like greatest love, and I'm so excited that I'm going to be doing a Melbourne Comedy Festival show next year, which is something I never thought I would do. And I know people probably listening are like, but you do comedy and you do videos and you're on the TV. It's like, yes, but I'm on beta blockers, and I'm suffering, and I'm very anxious, and it's really, really tough, and it doesn't discriminate. And for something that might look easy, it's really tough. I've worked for everything that I've had, and it's hard. And I want you to know, you are not alone if you are struggling or if you are suffering. We are all in this together. And if you are struggling, and if this has triggered anything for you, the lifeline number is 13 11
and
14.
You've got two more shows tonight in Canberra, correct?
Yes, last
two
of your.
Is it sold? Wait, is it sold out?
They are sold
out. Oh, cash, baby.
Of course it is.
No!
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that story and having that strength. And to anybody who is suffering, of course, that number again. 13,
get on your
11,
Tanya,
14.
You bloody babe.
I've come out the other side, boys.
Woo-hoo. This is Weekend Breakfast.
Still in Auckland, Tanya Hennessy and Angus O'Loughlin, plus joined in studio by our gorgeous, esteemed, talented producer, Casey Frame. Hello.
Oh, that was really nice.
We're about to play a new game that might have some legs to go again, but what is the premise of it, Casey?
So basically, I'm going to read out a sentence that one of you's given me, and the other two are going to lie and say that they've given it to me. So basically, two of you are liars and one of you is going
to
tell
the
truth.
So we have to elaborate on the story, and someone has to pick the wiener.
Correct.
So, Amy, it's a true story from one of our lives, but we're going to try and convince you that it's our true story. You ready to pick out the liars from the truth?
Yeah.
Let's do it. What is the sentence, Casey?
Okay. Niall from One Direction took a selfie of us and sent it to Ellie Goulding.
Yeah, that's my story, because I went to VidCon in the US because, you know, I'm an internet personality. But yeah, you're all in the same, I guess they would call it like a YouTube lounge. And it's great. It's got like fun, free stuff in there. Liza Koshy was in there and the 1D boys were in there. And I was like, I'm out of my depth. But he came over to me and he's like, hey, one of my friends, Ellie Goulding, is the biggest fan of yours.
Wow.
Well, because she's British. Mm. And I have a huge British audience. And I was like, oh, yeah. And so I got a photo and he sent it to her and she wrote back, like love heart emojis, love her. And I was like, yes. It was weird.
Bull tish.
He smells good.
I didn't believe a second.
Yeah, VidCon.
it's true.
Oh, I just.
What year was that?
It was 2018.
Okay, because they did break up in 2017.
Well, that's.
all right.
Vegas!
Here's the true story,
God
Amy.
God damn it.
I used to host the night radio show on this radio network, and during that you interviewed all the 5 Seconds of Summers of the world. At the time, One Direction, I got to chat to them. And when they were in Australia, the one person that I connected with the most was Niall. And so I went for a beer with him when I was in Melbourne.
Oh,
and then when I was over in London, he hit me up. I have Niall's number. And on WhatsApp, he sent me a
message. Read it out then, mate.
Read it out.
You don't have it.
And he texts me and he's like, hey, if you're around, we're going to go for a beer with my cousin. And so I was like, great. Caught up. We went on about a 5-hour pub crawl through London. And then we stopped in at a pub and I was telling a story about Ellie. And he's like, let's send her a photo right now. Took a photo on his phone, texted to her, and she sent back the love heart emoji.
That's the true story, Amy. Now, you tried to pick apart and say
sure
that.
Sure, you can. Here, what do you got?
I wasn't there. What year was that?
That was 2015 or 16.
Read out his number then.
You can't even remember it.
Read out his phone number then.
I'm not going to do that.
Oh, because you haven't got
it. Why would she do hard eyes to you? Like, why?
Amy,
I'm friends with Ellie Goulding.
Amy, don't listen to these lies. Now, I've got a mate. His name's Connor McDonald. He is a photographer from the UK, from Liverpool. He's actually Calvin Harris's photographer, but he's taken some stuff for Niall as well as Ellie Goulding as well. And I was lucky enough to be at a shoot once with both of them, which was pretty cool when I was in the UK. And this year, I was at Wimbledon. I was lucky enough to play Wimbledon. And Niall was there. Big tennis fan. He comes to the Australian Open sometimes. Good friend of Andy Murray. And obviously Andy Murray made his comeback at Wimbledon, played doubles with Serena Williams.
Mm-hmm. Too many details.
He was at that match.
Over-explaining,
saw him in the players area where you got to get accreditation, which you two would never be, obviously.
Absolutely not. I've never even seen a sports game.
Saw Niall and he's like, mate, Ellie said g'day as well. We're talking about her and Connor. And we took a selfie, sent it to Ellie, and she sent back a love heart emoji.
Okay. Now, one of these stories, Amy, is the truth. It is up to you to pick which is the lie and who is telling the absolute truth. Who do you think is telling the truth?
I think the last one is the truth.
Yeah! You think Dylan Alcott's story?
Yeah! Really? Why? Yeah.
I think Tanya's definitely lying.
Yeah.
Because One Direction broke up about 3 years ago.
Well, I don't care about One Direction.
Okay, well, that is true.
Okay, it's not me. It's not me.
That it is not Tanya. And would you like to lock in your answer that it's that
Dylan?
Dylan over myself?
Yes.
Yes.
Incorrect. That is my truth, unfortunately, for you. Very cool for me. That's the game,
sorry,
yeah.
Sorry, Amy.
I won the game, not you, Angus.
And that does mean I have Niall's number. Yeah. I text him.
I outstoried you, though.
Yeah, it is still the same number. Do you know why I know it's the same number? Because occasionally I'll go check when he last logged into WhatsApp. Like, do you know it says when you're last active?
Creepy.
And yeah, so he's active yesterday. I checked this morning.
You're such a fanboy.
Say congratulations, Dylan. Say it.
That's it for our show, everybody.
Say congratulations, Dylan.
We are back on the
say
air
it before
tomorrow.
You push that button to
yeah,
go
say
to...
It.
Have a great day.
You say it.
See you tomorrow.
You say it.
Say it.
Across Australia, Weekend Breakfast. Turn the radio on. With Dylan Alcott, Tanya Hennessy, and Angus O'Loughlin.